Should we kneel for prayer and start our worship service today? Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We ask that you be our teacher, that the Holy Spirit assist us and teach us in our worship service today. Help us to develop more of a faith in our own Christian walk from reading and studying your word today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your Desire of Ages for today? We begin the chapter 52, The Divine Shepherd, starting on page 476. And you'll notice at the bottom of the first page in that chapter, it says, this chapter is based on John 10, verses 1 through 30. So also, I would ask and invite you to open up your Bibles right along with Desire of Ages. Desire of Ages to chapter 52, beginning on page 476. And first we'll read the Bible itself that the chapter is based upon, and that's John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. Let's read in John 10 first, beginning in the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Of course, Christ is the door. He is the shepherd. His people are the sheep that follow him. They know his voice. His voice is the water of life. His voice is the word of God. They know the word of God. They don't just say, like heathen Laodiceans, they know the word of God, but then they only read their own little Talmuds and Gemaras, their Sabbath school quarterlies. And they don't really study the word of God for themselves, or they wouldn't be Sabbath polluting with idolatry and in Satan worship, would they? Somewhere along the line in their generations of being, I'm a fifth generation heathen Laodicean, because that's in reality what they are, they stopped studying God's word for themselves. And they took the teachings of their leaders instead. That's exactly what happened in the days of Christ, and it's still going on. The heathen Church of the Laodiceans existed in the day of Christ in the form of the Jewish nation. Today, we have the astounding aspect of association with the heathen Church of the Laodiceans of our day. And going back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Desire of Ages, and elsewhere in Ellen White's writings, we can see just exactly what by principle it says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 15, and what it says directly in Desire of Ages, page 280, paragraph 1. History is repeating. All of the things involved regarding the heathen church of the Laodiceans has already happened before in the days of Christ, and they're happening again in our own very day. And unless somebody understands that, they aren't entering in by the door. They're trying to climb up some other way. They aren't listening to his voice at all. And indeed, unless they understand that, they don't even know his voice. They're listening to another voice altogether. Continuing on in John chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." What does a hireling care about? Cares about his paycheck, cares about his job, cares about his career and retirement, life insurance, dental insurance, you know? That's a hireling. He sold out long time ago. If the organization he works for does not follow the shepherd and is not teaching the people how to enter by the door and is not teaching the people to recognize God's voice, the hireling won't care. The hireling will sink down in silence to keep that paycheck, that career, that coveted job, that retirement, medical, and dental benefits. That's a hireling. Christ wasn't like that, was he? He wasn't a hireling. He followed the Father, and he couldn't be bought. They couldn't even sway him by threats of murder. He chose to lay down his life. A hireling will never do that. One is following only self, the hireling. And the good shepherd, Christ, is selfless. Verse 13 again, it says, "The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Aren't heathen Laodiceans and heathen Laodicean leaders the same today? Many of them, the vast majority of them, that is. When you hold forth Christ to them in one way or another, don't they say that you're a devil? Don't they say that you're mad? And if anyone listens and looks in the Word of God to see what you're saying is true, don't they accuse him or her of following just a man? And don't they try to get everyone not to hear him? Just like this verse says, why hear ye him? That's been the heathen Laodicean motto ever since Christ stood in their face. Why hear ye him? The same is today when you hold forth Christ to them. By words or by actions, they are saying the same thing. Why hear ye him? They won't listen, they won't read anything that doesn't come from their scribes, from their approved heathen Laodicean authors. History is repeating, and if we can listen, we should hear the words on the wind again today, many times, coming from the mouths and the actions of heathen Laodiceans themselves, as one way or another they teach, why hear ye him? In verse 21 it says, others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's stop here. It's what our chapter is based upon, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. And let's go to our Desire of Ages, page 476, and begin reading Heaven's commentary, you might say, on this chapter through the Lord's messenger, Ellen G. White. And you can't help but recognize, if you've ever engaged in trying to get what you know, what God has shown you by His Word, if you've ever tried to get openly heathen Laodiceans to follow Christ and understand the Word, that they are in Sabbath keeping with idolatry and Satan worship, that they are not Sabbath keeping, that they are not worshiping God, that they are not Christian Seventh-day Adventists, but rather heathen Laodiceans. If you've ever tried to do that, you will clearly see and appreciate how, again, history is repeating in the events of John chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. As we said earlier, one of their key messages, those that reject these truths and claim to be Seventh-day Adventists, but in reality they're heathen Laodiceans, one of their key messages that they put forth by words or by actions. By words, if you give them a study regarding these things, they will say, who wrote that? Are they not saying, why hear ye him? Or by their actions, they won't even read the study at all, lest they should find out Christ, and they might be challenged to give up self as their God. Why hear ye him? Over and over you'll see history repeating as you see that lesson. But through it all, as Christ taught us the difference between heathen Laodiceanism and Christian Seventh-day Adventism, he continues to teach us and to instill in us a love, the same love that exists between him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this chapter deals with it very strongly, the Divine Shepherd, chapter 52. No one who is a Christian Seventh-day Adventist or living in the hope of being judged by God to be the same can read this chapter without feeling the call of the Holy Spirit to have an increased love for Christ. Let's begin reading the chapter. It says, quote, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, Jesus found access to the minds of his hearers by the pathway of their familiar associations. He had likened the Spirit's influence to the cool, refreshing water. He had represented himself as the light, the source of life and gladness to nature and to man. Now, in a beautiful pastoral picture, he represents his relation to those that believe on him. No picture was more familiar to his hearers than this, and Christ's words linked it forever with himself. Never could the disciples look on the shepherds tending their flocks without recalling the Savior's lesson. They would see Christ in each faithful shepherd. They would see themselves in each helpless and dependent flock. This figure the prophet Isaiah had applied to the Messiah's mission in the comforting words, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11. David had sung, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalms 23, verse 1. And the Holy Spirit, through Ezekiel, had declared, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And I will make them a covenant of peace, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Ezekiel 34, verses 23, 16, 25, and 28. Christ applied these prophecies to himself. He showed the contrast between his own character and that of the leaders in Israel. The Pharisees, that would be the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, of course, not the heathen Babylonian Pharisees, but, of course, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Remember, there's two types of Pharisees. The Pharisees had just driven one from the fold. Remember who that's talking about, Bartimaeus. The Pharisees had just driven one from the fold, because he dared to bear witness to the power of Christ. They had cut off a soul whom the true shepherd was drawing to himself. In this, they had shown themselves ignorant of the work committed to them and unworthy of their trust as shepherds of the flock. The same is true today, brothers and sisters, when, as leaders in spiritual Israel, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day censor, terminate, and or disfellowship anyone whom the true shepherd is drawing to himself. And I dare say today the quickest way to get disfellowship by the falsely professing Seventh-day Adventist Church is just to stand up and do what Bartimaeus did. Hold forth Christ to them. Hold forth the way, the truth, and the life to them, that they be no more a prey to heathenism. And you will very quickly find out what it means to be driven from the fold. History is repeating. And when it happens to one of us, we need not think it's an original thing. It has all happened before. And oftentimes, to be driven from the fold is the only way you'll ever end up in the fold. It says here in the same paragraph, as we finish this paragraph, Jesus now set before them the contrast between them and the good shepherd, and he pointed to himself as the real keeper of the Lord's flock. Before doing this, however, he speaks of himself under another figure. He said, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The Pharisees did not discern that these words were spoken against them. Why were they spoken against them? Were they not claiming to be the people of God, the true tabernacle or church, in other words? Were they not then also rejecting the truth, the way, the life, Christ? Were they not then trying to climb up some other way? Such is the historical legacy of heathen Laodicean leaders. Christian Seventh-day Adventists should recognize the difference between then heathen Laodicean leaders and Christian Seventh-day Adventist leaders. Heathen Laodicean leaders are still exactly as Christ described them, climbing up another way, making boastful pronunciations that are reserved for the judgment of God alone. We're the church, we're the true tabernacle, we're the people of God, we're the remnant. Climbing up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And what are they stealing first? They are stealing the judgment of God because they're trying to separate the wheat and the tares by claiming exclusivity to the fact that they are the wheat. And what else are they stealing? Those that believe them are being stole from the kingdom of God and being sold into slavery in the heathen kingdom of Satan instead. Such is the historical legacy of heathen Laodicean leaders. They are not Christian at all, and they are not followers of Christ. They do lie, all heathen lie, Desire of Ages 540, and all heathen Laodiceans boast of their superior goodness. They boast, 7 Bible Commentary 963. Nothing's changed. history is repeating. And where do the vast majority of people lie? Are they on the side of Bartimaeus, the one who was driven from the fold? Or are they on the side of Bartimaeus' parents, those that denied Christ? The vast majority are exactly like Bartimaeus' parents. They would sacrifice everything, including their loved ones, that they might not be put out of the synagogue. Why? Because the God of heaven is not their God. A heathen church, the heathen church of the Laodiceans, instead, in and of itself, has become their God. And they will not be separated from their God at all costs. Such is the legacy of heathen Laodicean Pharisees, both the leaders and those that follow them. They are like the parents of Bartimaeus. And they are trying to climb up another way, all of them. And every time you hear them boast, "We're the people of God, we're the church, we're the remnant," they are showing you they're trying to climb up another way. And that they are thieves and robbers, stealing from God and stealing from those people that they can swindle into their control. Let's start that paragraph again. He said, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The Pharisees did not discern that these words were spoken against them. When they reasoned in their hearts as to the meaning, Jesus told them plainly, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Christ is the door to the fold of God. Through this door, all his children, and remember Acts 17, verse 29, defines his children by the way they are not to think. Remember that. Because the heathen church of the Laodiceans will never mention Acts chapter 17, verse 16, 29 through 31. They will never mention it. Because in verse 29, again, it defines Christ's children. And it shows that, by definition, the vast majority of those who claim to be Seventh-day Adventists today are not Christ's children by the way they do think. Read Acts 17:29 for yourself sometime. If you've never read it before, or if you're possibly listening to this Sabbath worship service on our website. And thank you for visiting, by the way. Again, in Desire of Ages, page 477, continuing on, it says, "Christ is the door to the fold of God. Through this door, all his children, from the earliest times, have found entrance in Jesus, as shown in types, as shadowed in symbols, as manifested in the revelation of the prophets, as unveiled in the lessons given to his disciples, and in the miracles wrought for the sons of men. They have beheld the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. "And through him they are brought within the fold of his grace. Many have come presenting other objects for the faith of the world. Ceremonies and systems have been devised by which men hope to receive justification and peace with God. and thus find entrance to his fold. But the only door is Christ, and all who have interposed something to take the place of Christ, all who have tried to enter the fold in some other way, are thieves and robbers. Let's stop there for today, and we'll continue on next week in our Desire of Ages, page 478. Now, those that have eyes to see and ears to hear realize that the thieves and robbers, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day, the thieves and robbers haven't changed much in our day. Their clothes are a little different. They might drive little bit different chariots or cars. They might live in different type of houses. But deep down in their soul, they're exactly the same. Inside, where it really counts, they haven't changed since the days of Christ. Next week, we'll continue on Desire of Ages, page 478 and paragraph 2. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we thank you for teaching us today as we studied in your chapter, The Divine Shepherd. We're so very grateful the difference that you don't drive your flock. You get right out in front of them and lead them. So help us to remember that all the time. It's so hard to remember. There's so many things that are true about you and your kingdom. We just ask you to help us remember this thing that we learned today, so that every time we come into something that we didn't even know was a crisis, help us to remember in a split second that you're already there, because you were leading us, not driving us. Thank you for that beautiful teaching. Thank you also for showing us the way our targeted ministry responds at times. You were working with the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of your day, and you taught us exactly what they'll say and what they'll do. We thank you so much that this is what strengthens us, because history hasn't changed. It's just repeating like you told us. Oftentimes they'll say, who would listen to him? Who would hear this person? Who would hear him? And Lord, we hear the same kind of attacks today when they falsely accuse us, as they did you. We're so very grateful then for both sides of the teaching. The teaching as to the way the flock and you respond together, and the teachings as to the way the enemy tries to usurp all this and climb up another way as thieves and robbers, and the things that they say and do that identify exactly who they are. We're so very grateful again to you, and we praise your name collectively together as a church body, how you have protected us this past week. And we ask simply these words, Lord Jesus, help us as we go about the business of our next coming week. For we know not what is ahead, but you're already there, and you know exactly what we'll face. Lord Jesus, help us. Keep us safe. Help us to do the right thing. Impress upon us when we should avoid danger. Help us to enter into danger when it is the right thing to do. And give us the confidence to know that you're standing right there in front of us. We come before you by faith with one more request. We ask for this blessing of protection and this watch care and this work in us that you're teaching us of your love to be the same thing for our neighbors and that those that have gone out from among us. Help them to hear your voice, protect them, and help them to love you. Because you don't drive, you lead. You're out in front. If there's anything to come, you're the first one to sense it and to feel it and to know it. And you know it even today, what's going to happen before the week comes. It's so glad that I can say that we have a shepherd like you, that here on Sabbath, you know what's going to happen this next week on Wednesday. With great confidence, then, we come before you and we say, Lord Jesus, help us to get through the week safely and to do the right thing before we meet together again the next Sabbath day. And moment by moment, give these same blessings to those that have gone out among us, from among us, and to our neighbors as well. Draw them closer to you and help them in their lifetime to come to understand the love that you have for us can be a gift that we receive as we turn around and love one another and love you. Give them this blessing and increase that blessing in us. And above all else, may your will be done, individual by individual. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Until we see each other next Sabbath and discuss the way that he has been gracious unto us, just as our benediction says. Happy Sabbath to anyone else that is seeking to be a member of God's flock. Take care. We'll see you next week.